Having introduced the book of Joshua last Sunday morning, we now commence our studies in that book, reading together the first 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1, from verse 1. And we begin with the little word "ve" in Hebrew that no English translation seems to think should go in, and it's the word which means "and." "And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" Amen, and thanks be to God. Of the book of Joshua in the scriptures matters very much, and understanding its place and position matters for us if we are to receive the spiritual message and apply the spiritual truth which runs through all its chapters. So let me very briefly recap what I mean. Joshua's place in the Bible is such that without it, the first 5 books of the scriptures that we call the Pentateuch, these first 5 books are unexplained. Without the book of Joshua, the Pentateuch is unfulfilled. And also, without the book of Joshua, the following 6 books, which we know as settlement books and history, can't be understood. They are incomprehensible. So Joshua stands in the scriptures bridging a very important gap. It is a book of endings and beginnings. It is the book which marks the end of Israel's wanderings from the Red Sea through Sinai for 40 years. But it is also the book which deals with the beginning of new life in the land of promise in Canaan. Now, it's when you have got hold of that fact that this book stands in a very important position in the Scriptures that you are led into a deeply spiritual understanding of it. And with that understanding, you have grasped the point. You grasp the underlying message of the book of Joshua, which runs all the way through. Genesis is the book of beginnings, remember. Exodus, the book of birth and being called out. It's a book of redemption. Leviticus tells us what we were redeemed for. It's a book that leads into worship and communion with God. The book of Numbers deals with wanderings and the subject of sanctification and consecration to God and to His service. And Deuteronomy is a book about wholehearted obedience, the giving of the law again to the people of God, that they might be obedient as they go into the land of promise. And when the book of Joshua begins with the simple little word, and, it is demonstrating that this is a continuation of all of that. That here are spiritual lessons for those who know the covenant love of God, who have been redeemed by grace, who seek to worship and serve Him in communion with Him. Here is a message for those who are seeking sanctification and consecration to God, for those who place themselves under the authority of God and the authority of His Word. Joshua leads on and says, now up and in, upwards and into the land. It points us to our call to take what Christ offers us, to receive what He gives us, to possess what He has made ours in His incarnation, in His death, and through His resurrection. And for us, the man Joshua stands in Scripture as a picture or a type of Jesus Christ. This man born into captivity, born in Egypt, who alone with Caleb endured 40 years in the wilderness with complete and wholehearted faithfulness to God, the man who is called a soldier and a servant, the man who is taught by God through Moses, and who learned at Moses' hand faithfulness to the Lord, the man who above all is called and called again here in these opening verses, a minister. The book begins with the word and, so that we should understand that we are dealing with the same God. And, it says, and after the death of Moses, God spoke again. There is continuity in the service of God. It is the same God and the same work with the same purpose of salvation and blessing that goes on. And the Lord may bury His servants, but He carries on His purposes. He does not depend entirely upon the persons He chooses to use and bless in His service. He buries His servants, but His work goes on. Now these first 9 verses, this opening passage in the book of Joshua, laces together 3 things. It laces together, it binds into one, commands from God, promises from God, and foundational truth from God, commands and promises and the Word of God. And we'll come to those three things in just a moment. But first of all, we bear in mind that here we have Joshua's commission. Now, is it not the case that all commissions from God, that all calls from God to serve Him, and every believer is called to serve God in some particular way or another, but is it not the case that all commissions from God bring these three things together? Command, promise, and the Word of God. When God issues commands to serve, He also gives promises to equip us. And those promises we find and find fulfilled in the Scriptures, in the Word of Truth. Joshua's commission was a matter of command and promise and the truth of God's Word. Now, although we first come across Joshua in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 17, as a soldier, he is more importantly a servant and a minister. We see him through the book that bears his name, acting as a great military leader, and yet his greater function is a spiritual one. He is and he remains a minister of God. He has a spiritual position and a spiritual office. His function and his task under God, these things are spiritual from the start, and spiritual they remain. And I'd like you to notice before we commence our studies that although Joshua was the obvious man to take up leadership, after Caleb you might see he was the only man who was qualified, although he was the obvious man, he did not push himself forward. He did not volunteer. He responded to a commission. He was commanded of God. Now we can see and see clearly in the Bible the way God prepared this man for this service. And I'm sure he knew it by this stage in his life. He knew because Moses had told him, if for no other reason, that he was the one who would take up the mantle of leadership. And yet, he only does so when God calls him forward. In the service of God, everyone is commissioned. Volunteers are not the same thing. The second thing I'd like you to notice about Joshua is that in this call, the call we find in these opening verses, God is being faithful to himself. God is fulfilling his covenant promises. We saw last week that that takes us all the way back to the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Well, here, not only is this man being set aside, but within that, God is being faithful to himself and to his people. And so what you find here is God amplifying what he has already said. You find it within the very passage itself, where verse 3, as you see, amplifies what verse 2 says. Verse 2 mentions the promise and says that the people will now go over into Jordan. Verse 3 then amplifies it by saying that everywhere you go, that place shall be yours. And that leads us into the vital thing that we have to remember in all our studies, the studies that lie ahead of us. It is vital to understand that what God gives his people, and it is very much a gift, yet must be received by them. That it must be received with open-handed, empty-handed faith. that we must possess our possessions, as someone else has so accurately put it. Even Abraham, the book of Hebrews tells us, possessed his possessions by faith because he never owned a single bit of the land of Canaan except a grave. And yet he knew by faith that the land was his. And so now as the people go in, they must exercise the faith of Abraham, the faith that takes the covenant promises of God and marches out and realizes what is ours by faith, what is ours by God's promise. Put it this way. In all the battles that lie ahead in the land of Canaan, battles which yet must be fought, the victory is assured here before they cross the Jordan. Now they must go into the land, they must fight these battles, but they are called to fight them in the knowledge that God is with them, and no man shall stand before Joshua. It's as if Wigan yesterday were given the assurance that they were going to win 30-10 before they went out on the field to play against Leeds. And yet they still have to go out and win the tries and take the points. Now Christians are like that. We have promises from God. We have promises of heaven and eternal life in Jesus Christ, a foretaste of which is given to us through faith now. And this life here on earth is a matter of realizing what is ours, taking by faith to ourselves what God has done for us and what God gives us in Jesus. There is a land of full salvation. There is a land of freedom, liberty in God's service. There is a land of victory and a winning of the battles which is ours to receive. And we are assured from the beginning that everywhere we go, the land will be ours, that every battle that must be fought in the Lord will be won in the Lord, and yet we must step out and must fight these battles. Commands, promises, and foundational truth. These three things woven together in these nine verses. Now can we look first of all, and we've got to realize that they all intertwine, but can we look first of all at the commands of God? You'll find them, and you'll find them implied elsewhere, but you'll find them directly in verses 2, and then verse 6, and in the opening words of verse 9, which says simply, "Have I not commanded you?" Now verse 2 is the command to rise, go over the Jordan. Now we know that this is used in many hymns and in many Christian writings as a picture of dying and going into the presence of God, of dying and going to heaven. Bunyan, for example, uses it so tellingly. But you know, far more accurately, it's a picture of being converted to Jesus Christ. Because there are battles to be fought in the land of Canaan. There will be no battles after the last day when we are in the presence of God. There are battles to be fought in Canaan, so that a rising and going over Jordan is far more a picture of conversion to Jesus Christ and commitment to Jesus Christ. Now you can see, if you take it like that, that it would be a tragedy to be stuck at the wrong side of the Jordan. That if we are called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to go on into his service, to say no to that call and command is tragic. To stay this side of conversion, to remain this side of commitment to Jesus, is a tragic mistake. You will never see the delights of Canaan, although you will probably never also taste the battles of possessing the land. You'll not know what the Christian life is about until you cross over that Jordan of dying to yourself and rising to live for God. Unless you cross that which the Jordan speaks of, that dying and rising experience of being born again in the Holy Spirit of God, unless you pass from death to life through the grace of Jesus Christ, you'll never know the battles, but you'll never know the blessings of the true Christian life. Arise, cross over Jordan, you and all this people. And the next command is in verse 6, that you shall inherit the land. Once you've crossed that river, you must go on. Don't stay there at the riverside. Grow up, go on, possess what is yours by grace. If you cross the river, you become a soldier on active service. Go on into your battles, get yourself a history, build yourself a character. But if it's dangerous to get stuck on this side of the Jordan and not cross over through death to self into living for God, then it is also dangerous to get stuck at the other side of the Jordan and not go on into Christian progress and growth. And there are many people who get stuck at the other side of the Jordan, and if they go to revivalist or if they go to mass evangelistic rallies, they get converted, so they say, over and over again, and they're always stuck at their conversion. And they will not go on into their Canaan of obedience and service and battling and blessing for God. You see, the message is not only you must cross the Jordan, but you must go onwards and upwards into the land. Have I not commanded you, says the Lord? We are only going to possess that upon which our feet tread. We are only going to possess in the land that which we go on to take by faith, humbly accepting what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Every commission of every soldier of Christ is a commission that comes with commands. But it also, thanks be to God, comes with promises. And if you glance again at our opening 9 verses, you'll find these promises in verses 3 and 5. And then in the second half of verse 9, that greatest promise of all. And if you're looking at verse 3, you'll find there are marvelous mingling of tenses. From everywhere that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. Everywhere that the sole of your foot will tread, future, I have already, present continuous, given you. It's like Jesus saying, I am with you always. Have you noticed that that's a mixture of tenses? I am with you and will be always. It's a statement of fact, founded as it is upon the past, upon God's promises to Moses, to be received in the present as Joshua crosses the Jordan and goes into the land. And it remains a promise that God has made to be realized in the present. And if you look again at verse 5, you'll find that that assurance is an assurance specifically, first of all, given to Joshua, and then and only then given to all the people. It's a promise to him. It's a promise, says verse 5, given at that time. It is therefore the foundation of his personal commission. And God continues to commission every single believer into particular service. And he always does so, not only with a command to serve, but with the promise that he will meet that which is required by obedience. This he does for us, has done for us, continues to do for us through the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I hope you see that for yourself this day. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And the promise, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. It is personal and it is particular. No one shall stand against you. Now, there are many situations in the Christian life where we are so conscious of our personal weakness, of our failures and shortcomings, yes, and of our sins against the light, that we are convinced that this kind of promise cannot be true for us. We bring ourselves, we believe, under the judgment of God, not into his blessing. And yet the promise remains for sinful men and women, that no one shall stand against you. This shall remain true all the days of your life. And you know, that's one of the great fears that many Christians have, that in their old age, they'll fall away from God, they'll falter. And we see in the Bible many examples of those who in their latter years make a shipwreck of their faith, and yet the promise remains, I'll be with you all the days of your life. As your days are, so shall your strength be. One dear soul that I knew who died in her early 90s, desperately afraid that she would fail the Lord if she became confused in her old age, and she did become confused, and she became quite raveled, as we would say. And yet, you know, even in the midst of her confusion, her testimony to the love of God was a remarkable thing. God was true to that woman. An old woman, one of our oldest members who died not so long ago, afraid that she would be like Moses and would be able to look into the land but not allowed into it, was given the assurance before she died that she would enter the land and that there was nothing to fear. But you know, it can be a fear that we'll not be faithful to the end, that we will outlive our love for Christ, as Luther puts it. And if you have that anxiety, then to you the promise comes, I will be with you all the days of your life. It'll be like Moses, whose natural forces did not abate. And it says specifically, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Have you laid hold upon that promise from God, that wherever you go, it says, wherever you go, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. There are those, I'm sure, there are those I know with us this morning who are passing through times of real trial and testing, and for some, a real heavy load has to be carried through the passage of these days. Have you laid hold upon the promise of God? That although there may be no way to avoid these times of darkness and being burdened, yet he is with you. His rod and staff to comfort you, sharing his yoke, you find the burden eased. Lay hold upon these promises, because every command of God comes with promise, and finally also, with the command and the promise comes fundamental truth. It's built upon the Word of God. Now, of course, we know that Joshua has only that which was given to Moses, the first five books of the Bible. He only has the Pentateuch received with the law on Sinai. And yet he's told, be careful to do according to all the law. Turn not to the right or to the left. Keep the narrow way, as Jesus put it, the way of obedience, the upward path, which may be difficult, but is the way to life. Turn not to the right or the left. Don't add human legalistic requirements to the law, and do not take away from it with a religion of fun and fellowship and feelings. Go on and be careful not to deviate. This book, he says, shall not depart from your mouth. You'll meditate it, meditate upon it day and night. So, he says, so he has promised, you shall have good success. Therefore, the key to fruitfulness and blessing in the Christian life is faithfulness to God and obedience to Him through the guidance He has given us in His Word. The Word of God is foundational. The Word of God is foundational to commands and promises, and the Word of God is itself the source of commands and the source of promises. Joshua is called. He is commissioned. He is commanded. But the commands are built upon promises, and the promises are built upon the given word of God. Therefore, as God is true to Himself, Joshua and all the people are now called to go up and make theirs what is theirs. To make real what is already factual, in that God has given it to them. And all commissions and commands of God come with promises built upon His word. That leaves us this morning, and for our remaining studies in the book of Joshua, with a call that brings encouragement. As God calls Joshua at the beginning and calls us to His service, so He gave Joshua encouragement and gives us encouragement to go on. And we need to be familiar with these words of encouragement. Three times, no less, although in slightly different ways, three times God says to Joshua, "Be strong and be courageous." And if you like, there's the essence of the commands in the specifics of what he is to do and where he is to go, and in the face of what will later be defeats as well as victories, he is told, be strong and be very courageous. And build that obedience to the commands upon the promises of God, he is told. And so God promises him, every place I have given you, as I promised Moses, and every place you go shall be yours. No one to stand before you. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. And in any case, says God, above all, have I not commanded you? The commands are built upon the promises. The promises are found in the Word of God. There's an awful lot of talk amongst us, amongst Christians today, about where and how we are to find guidance. Guidance is firstly given because God has spoken. When Moses died, the book of Joshua begins by telling us that God spoke again. After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua. God continues to guide in His Word, and we live according to the principles and the direct guidance of that Word. And although we are tempted to doubts, and we have sometimes yielded to being led by our own feelings, then that is not necessary. God continues to guide. He only says to us, be careful to do according to the law. Turn not from it to the right or the left, and the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Commands and promises and the word of God. And how? If we are going to go on into our land of promise, if we are to go on into full salvation, if we are to go on in the service of God to claim victories for Christ and to know blessings as well as battles in His service, how is all this to be? How will we know it? What is it like to experience this going on and possessing your possessions? Well, my friends, verse 9 closes by telling us what it's like. It is knowing the presence of God. It is practicing the presence of the risen Lord. We will know these things to be so. We will realize what is ours. We will inherit our inheritance and inheritance and possess our possessions and grow in grace and serve God, because we know He is with us. And with the presence of God in Christ comes the power of God. And with the power of God comes the peace of the victory. And my prayer for you and for me, my prayer for us together as we go on in these studies, is that we will indeed go on in service to Jesus Christ, to realize what He has done and to apply the power of the gospel to our lives, to possess our possessions, to serve Him, because we are commanded and given promises founded on His word. And may it be so. Amen.